I speak to you today in the name of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. The readings today force us to grapple with the deepest part of self, the place where sin resides in our lives. None of us are exempt from this reflection. If truth be told, all of us are this woman, a person to be condemned by the Pharisee who says, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." A sinner, each and every one of us, is truly a sinner. If not this woman, perhaps we are King David. Even King David, the man after God's own heart, sinned deeply against him. The earlier part of the story we didn't hear was he saw a woman he wanted, despite her belonging to another. So he sent her husband to the front lines in battle, where he died. And thus David claimed his wife as his own. Both of these figures, King David and the woman with the perfume at the Pharisee's banquet, are great sinners in the eyes of God. Any one of us could be seen in this way. In fact, nearly every human being that ever existed can be seen this way. So, what is the hope for us? Well, if we look back at the story of King David and even the story of this woman, we find that their sin is not the end of the story. No, the end of the story is forgiveness, which is what we truly want to focus on. But the middle of the story is important too, and it's the middle part that I hope to explore today. See, the middle part of King David's story involves a reckoning of self. A self-reflection so deep and filled with the truth that it leaves David profoundly sorry for the sin he committed. It does take the prophet Nathan and a parable he tells him to convict him of the truth. Yet the conviction is real and David's lamenting is real. In the end, David replies, "I have sinned against the Lord." Now, the middle part of this woman's story displays a great lamenting also through her tears and her actions. Our reading tells us from the start that she was a sinner. Yet she had the boldness to approach the Lord, to anoint his feet, to bathe them with his tears. What we find is neither of these individuals attempt to defend themselves or their actions. In fact, they don't pretend to be anything other than what they are. They take responsibility for their past actions and mistakes. They don't try to hide from their sin. They don't even attempt to hide their sin from the Lord or from others. They face the truth in all humility. And for this, their sins are forgiven. You see, one of the most difficult aspects of sin is the deceit and the isolation that comes with it. Deceit because first we follow lies that lead us into the very sin ourselves, the sin itself. And then often we follow even more lies to justify ourselves or even to attempt to forgive what we've done. Now, isolation works in a similar way. Sin beckons us towards isolation because in our spirit we know that we've caused damage to our relationship with God and perhaps even other people. So we begin to isolate ourselves in our attempt to avoid that painful truth. But King David and the woman, they do not isolate. King David was a powerful man. He could easily have struck down the prophet Nathan, as we saw he did with Uriah. Instead, he chooses relationship. He respects the hard truth that the prophet relays to him, and he truly desires to be restored to God. This woman, too, departs from her sin and moves towards relationship. She has the boldness to enter a home in which she is unwanted, a home in which she is harshly judged, and she acts in a way that is outrageous, touching, bathing, and kissing this man Jesus' feet. She will not stay in the cultural isolation that her sins have caused. She is desperate for relationship and reconciliation. And see, that too is our choice. Sin, we've all sinned, every one of us. Every one of us in here, and every one of us out there. What might be different within from the world without is our response to sin. Do we allow deceit and isolation to drive our experience, or will we too seek reconciliation and relationship? Now, back when I was discerning a call to holy orders, it was a very difficult time in my life. I knew for certain what God was asking of me, yet I felt unworthy of the calling to serve him and his church. And even my mother was struggling deeply. See, she probably knew me the best out of anyone. She knew I was very far from perfect. She knew my many faults. And although I'm not a bad person, she knew I had committed terrible sins in my life. She had lived with me through my teen years, after all. Through this time of struggle, I remember one conversation I had with my priest as I struggled through these conflicts, and he told me this. He said, God doesn't call holy people. You see, God calls obedient people, and he makes them holy. King David, this woman with the perfume, this priest standing before you, all sinners in the sight of God, yet all willing to humble themselves, confess their worst, and seek reconciliation and relationship. Shunning the isolation, guilt, and shame of sin. Remove the cloak of darkness in exchange for the wedding robe of righteousness. Jesus said, Simon, I have something to say to you. Teacher, he replied, speak. A certain creditor had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt. And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. I once told my mom, maybe the worst sinners make the best priests. Perhaps I have this exchange between Jesus and Simon in mind. Today I would amend that by saying, maybe the worst sinners make the best Christians. God had two debtors before him. One owed him for 500 sins, the other for 50. Neither of them could ever pay. And so Jesus canceled the debts for them both. Now which of them will love him more? Jesus cancels the debts caused by our sins on the cross. He gives his life in payment for ours. There is no other way to settle them. All we can do is love all the more out of our gratitude and our thanksgiving. We love by by shamelessly adoring the Lord, just as that woman did. We love by pouring our affection, our gratitude, our gifts at his feet. We love by committing ourselves to him and his church. Real commitment, calling for real sacrifice. Not to do so lessens the great sacrifice Christ made for us. What is your faith worth to you? God answered that question by giving his son's entire life for you. How do you answer that question back? I know our lives are busy and quite full. This can be good when kept in healthy proportions. However, this too can lead us to sin, because yes, even Satan uses distraction to lead us away from God. What is your commitment to your faith? What is your commitment to your church? What is your commitment to God? Is it on level with this sinful woman pouring out her tears on the Lord's feet? Is it on level with King David, a powerful man who humbles himself before the prophet of the Most High God? Psalm 32. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is put away. Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and whose spirit there is no guile. While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all the day long. For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in the time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. This great invitation of the gospel is here before you today. Confess your sins. Let go of them. Be free of them. You are forgiven. Turn your lamenting into joy, because it is then that you will be free to love much, just as Christ loved you. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.